Good afternoon. We're going to open the Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development. For the record, today is Wednesday, March 23rd, 2005. I'm Representative Greg Smith, and with me is Robin Lamont, our LFO staff, and Cap Bell, our Subcommittee Assistant. In a moment, we're going to begin public hearings on Senate Bill 5508, the Economic and Community Development Department budget bill, and then also House Bill 5028, the Oregon State Fair and Expo Center, will follow that. But before we begin the process, I think we'll turn this over to Robin for some thoughts.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, actually, for an admission that I used the wrong version of the OECD priority list, and so their department priority ranking is incorrect. And they will be providing you with the correct ranking as we work through this spreadsheet. It is a consequence of having multiple versions. It shouldn't affect your ranking at all. It's just that the ranking that you will see for the department is incorrect.
Terrific. For the folks out in the audience and for those who perhaps are listening online around the state or by other means, what we are going to be doing is going line item by line item through the Oregon Economic and Community Development Department's program units as they have prioritized them, and then we are going to provide a ranking of those priorities on a 1 to 5 scale, one being given as a very high priority, 5 being a very low priority, a 3 being middle of the road, and then for those members who aren't quite sure, they can either provide a 2 or a 4. In addition to the rankings, what we are going to do is allow each member to flag an item. So that way, if there's further discussion that needs to occur between this ranking and round 2 of the budget discussions, that'll serve as a notice to LFO and also to the agency folks that this is a discussion we're going to want to further in the next round. So that's where we are. Why don't you two folks introduce yourselves for the record, and then we'll get started.
What do you mean?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Lynn Beaton, and I'm the manager of the Central Operations Division for the department.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Mike Salzgiver, OECD Legislative Affairs Manager.
Perfect. And I want the committee to know that the director, Marty Brantley, has contacted me on numerous occasions to let me know that unfortunately he would not be able to be here today, and It was a very, very legitimate excuse, and so we don't want to have that in any way be held against him. So,
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, at the expense of sounding like Gilda Radner, oh, never mind. What I gave you was correct. What I have for my scoring sheet is incorrect. So disregard my earlier comments.
It'll be in operations. Okay. In addition, Senator Verger is unable to be with us, but she has given me her priorities and has asked that I share those with the group. And so we're very pleased to do that on her behalf. And hello there. No. We're just getting started. We just walked through the process that we're going to go through. And so with that said, why don't we start off with the number one priority for the department, that's the revolving loan and guarantee programs. And my understanding is that's made up of 4 loan programs, the entrepreneurial loan program, the business development fund, the capital access program, and the credit enhancement program. Why don't we start off with Senator Morris?
One.
I mean a one.
Okay.
I know.
One.
One.
Okay. I'm a one, and Senator Verger is a one. Innovation Economy, Representative Avakian.
Two. Three.
Senator Carter.
It's underneath. Not underneath. A moment. Okay.
I'll take a one on that.
Okay. Senator Johnson.
It is a very high, important priority. My concern is that we tap it for discussion in phase two simply because I have a number of questions about where it appropriately fits, what opportunities might exist for a relationship between other technology elements. The Treasurer's Office has some of it. So I would just like to flag it, but I think being prospective and contemplating where the economy is headed into the future is important, and this is important.
Senator Morris.
It's a one in priority and importance. The mechanism that we use to deliver is a concern that I have, particularly in this budget environment. If there are alternatives that we can create, and that's what we're working with right now, if we can find alternatives that have a greater impact and longer-term sustainability to fund these concepts and principles that come out of our universities and to attempt to commercialize them at the point of highest risk in any venture, and that's what this fund addresses. If we can do that in a way that's different than just $2 million of general fund appropriation, then that's where I would like to see us go. If we can't get there, then I think this would be a reasonably high priority. So I would give it a one, but flag it in terms of alternatives.
Okay. Senator Johnson.
Thank you. I want to correct myself a little bit. I was gathering my paper in this tsunami of pieces of paper I've got behind me. I wish to have my opinion associated with my colleague, Senator Morris. I think my remarks were focused more globally on just what do we do with a knowledge economy? Where does it appropriately reside? What are the elements of developing that knowledge economy? I am concerned about exactly the same things that Senator Morris raised in terms of teaching people to fish versus giving them a fish, and a one-time expenditure is not adequately sustainable. I have deep concerns about this particular issue, but I think the whole question of how a knowledge economy and a prospective approach to that new kind of economy occurs is critically important to the state's economic well-being. I want to keep my rating high, but I just wanted to distinguish between discussing the knowledge economy and this specific element of it.
Terrific. Senator Westland.
One.
Senator Carter.
I have questions about just like the star of that, and because I need to. Over the years, it has changed. The mission of that particular fund has changed. And while I'm not against the use, I just want to see how it's more strategically used. So with that, I'll give it a two.
Okay. Representative Richardson.
We don't have strategic reserve fund?
No, we're on innovation economy.
Okay. Already,
I think we went already.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was catching up because hadn't voted.
Okay. I'm still on innovation economy.
Okay. Right.
That's where I was, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Arrived late, and I'm on the same page.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I had already given my one for that. I thought you had moved down to strategic reserve.
Okay.
So, excuse me. My one stands.
And Senator Johnson, I did get a numeric value from you.
How about a question mark? I would give it
solid question mark.
Yeah. A three. Not that I don't think it's important, but I just don't know how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. At this point, I'm struggling with the innovation economy as well. I want to make sure that before we as a committee invest $9 million additional dollars into this program, that we know that the other programs within the department are operating at a level that would merit a $9 million worth of additional investment. So I've given it a 3 as well. So let's go to a strategic reserve.
Mr. Chair, was there some numeric value from Senator Vogt?
Thank you very much. A 1.
Okay.
We're on to strategic reserve fund.
2.
3.
Senator Carter?
3.
A double 1. And if I could explain that, I think what we do, or perhaps more importantly, what we don't do or allow the executive branch to do with a strategic reserve fund really hampers the ability of that fund to be strategic. I mean, this is just the realities of business and modern day life. If I could come up with one word that should describe this fund, it should be nimble. It should allow the government, you know, more latitude and flexibility to address in a real-time sensitivity some of the opportunities that present itself to this state. And I don't say this for this governor or the next governor. I say this for all governors. So I'm a strong 1 on this, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Senator Johnson. 1. Senator Morris. I'm sorry. Senator Johnson.
Mr. Chair, I would join with some of my colleagues in saying that this might profit from some additional discussion, but I think it's terribly important for the – I hate to agree with Senator Westland, but he articulated many of the issues that I find important in this program.
I enthusiastically endorsed this allocation in the last session. And I believe that if the governor is out recruiting and leading the charge on targeted businesses, critical businesses that are thinking about making an investment in the state, I would opt to actually move some monies around within the department and put more money into that account. Now, I recognize he's not spent it down so far, but... I think this is a very important piece of the recruitment puzzle. And when you have the chief executive officer of a state that is calling and saying, we want you, and these are things we can do for you, that's a very powerful message.
Yeah.
Let him cut the deal. Hold him accountable, but let him cut the deal.
Yeah. For the committee, one of the issues I'm struggling with on the strategic reserve fund is you're exactly right, Senator Westland, and that's accountability, making sure that we know those dollars are being spent in a manner that gets us the biggest bang for the buck. And then also, though, I think you have an issue of fairness, and that is making sure that we're addressing the needs of existing Oregon businesses and balancing that with the effort of trying to bring new business into Oregon. I think in the end this is a fund that truly warrants funding, but I think we do need to flag that.
Your number and Senator Berger, please.
Senator Berger is a 1, and on here I have it as a 3. Grant loan program to assist with brownfield assessments. Representative Avakian.
2.
3. 2.
3.
2.
1.
I have a 1.
And Senator Berger?
Senator Berger has it as a 1. Industrial lands policy package.
1.
4.
1.
1.
Sorry.
Industrial lands.
1.
I'm a 3, and I could actually be down to a 4. And the reason is I'm not convinced that build it and they will come investments without having more certainty and targeting just a very small number of sites, whether that actually is going to produce the fruit that we're hoping for. And would like to flag that. It's a pretty major discussion.
Senator Johnson.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to flag it as well. This is going to go back to a reoccurring theme that I have, and that is reliable partners on the ground. I don't think that the state should be in a position of making significant investment in property and then find out that there's no capacity, capability, or enthusiasm to market the property or to deal with the property in a responsible way once it's reached certification. So while I think having a supply of industrial property available for potential businesses is extremely important, I think this issue could profit mightily from some additional committee discussion about execution.
And I'm a three on that.
And Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry, Senator Westland.
Yeah, I think both Senator Morris and Senator Johnson are exactly right on target. And my one an enthusiastic support of this falls into the kind of the category of it's not just what you do, it's how you do it mm-hmm. that's important. And yeah, we can't have, you know, we can't be out there hooking sagebrush roots up to sewer lines. It has to be very well coordinated with responsible partners. Again, back to my word with strategic reserve. We've got to be smart about this, and we've got to be nimble. But there is an overwhelming, growing need for industrial lands in this state. So that's the basis of my one.
Perfect. Let's move on.
Senator Bertrand.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go to Special Public Works Fund. Representative Ockian.
Number six. That's not that's not next on mine. My grant loan programs for infrastructure.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I think it may be the same thing. And
number six.
Yes. Okay. Let's go to.
I just want to make sure we're using the same form. You're on number six.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Special Public Works Fund. Grant loan program for infrastructure to cities and counties.
That's all right. Two.
One. A three.
Two.
One.
One.
I'm a one. Okay. Regional investment.
One.
One.
Seven. No, seven. One through five.
It's a North Portland.
Five and a half. Come on, Margaret.
Three.
Mr. Chair, I would like to flag this one for considerable additional discussion in phase two. Again, it has to do with reliable partners on the ground and execution of the program. I think the work is important. I'm going to give it a one based on work, not on execution. And we need to talk about it again.
A three. Flag for more discussion.
Okay. I'm a one. Okay, rural investment.
One.
And watch me trash my guys here, Margaret. This isn't just to see. I'm going to three. We're just down one.
For the same reasons that I marked the other one a one.
Five.
Yeah. It's regional, and this is rural emphasis.
You got it. Senator Morris.
Three. Same evaluation as the previous.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
Three.
I didn't hear Senator Johnson.
One. But flag in
okay.
Phase two.
I got that.
Okay. We're to.
Three. Wait a minute. Regional investment spot. And I did not get your Representative Smith.
One. Or to industry sector outreach.
Mr. Chair, before we indicate our prioritization on this, could we have some comment from the agency as just a refresher from the high-level presentation about what this program is designed to do and how it's been performing?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, yes. And actually, to give you that, I think we'll ask Ron Fox, one of the managers of our business development division.
Ron, so I guess I'm going to ask you.
Victoria Pruitt, the other manager in our business development division.
If you could just introduce yourself for the record.
Happy to. Chairman Smith and the committee, my name is Victoria Pruitt, and I'm the market development manager for Oregon Economic and Community Development. The Industry Sector Outreach Fund is used in reaching out to industry groups, to build those industry sectors across the state. For example, one of the groups that we support is the Oregon Manufacturing and Extension Partnership. They focus on lean manufacturing and work with companies around the state to better their productivity and also their reach and marketing. So that's one example. Brand Oregon has actually been a part of that as well, the marketing of the state. Dollar-wise, let me look.
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, the total has been $1.6 million for the current biennium. And at this point, that money is fully committed, though not all of it has yet been spent.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
And this then has gone out in the form of grants and loans, or simply grants, or it pays for operational execution of program?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, it's predominantly used for grant funding for those different programs. So, for example, it will be targeted at an industry group that wants to put together a marketing plan for that industry sector, and they'll be given a grant with the stipulation that at the end of that time they have a marketing plan and that they've executed.
And follow up, Mr. Chair. Yes. And then how's the decision made that there's been value conferred for the dollars spent?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, the business development division managers actually make that determination working with regional staff and with business development officers. Many of those funds are assigned after a business development officer comes in with the request. So our contracting staff then puts together an agreement with that industry group, and then at the end of the time they have to have delivered a product, at which time we decide whether or not we pay out. Also, I should mention there is a one-to-one match requirement with the program.
Mr. Chair?
Please.
So if in your determination the product is a substandard product, have you ever not paid out?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, yes, we have. Yes. I can think of two examples in the last biennium where we decided the product we got back wasn't worth the dollar amount, and we will often pay maybe a third or even a quarter up front to start the project, and then we'll often keep the remainder till the end, and we did not pay out everything at the end of the time.
One more, Mr. Chair. Please. How many projects in this program area were entertained? If you rejected two out of a universe, or you partial paid on two, out of a universe of how many?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, I would say that for the current biennium, there are approximately 30 projects, I think, that we're working on total with this fund.
Okay. Thank you.
Good for you.
Why don't we start with, did we get your score already, Representative?
No, I have a chair, but this is one that I would like to flag for us to come back and look at in more detail in the next phase. And when we do, I think it would be good for the committee to have some very specific details on the transactions that have occurred.
Do you care to give us a...
Three.
This is industry sector four.
Senator Carter.
Page your name.
One.
Industry sector?
Yeah.
One. Thank you, Diane.
One.
Four.
Five. And I'd like to see the results to earn it back up in the way I would look at it.
And I'm a four as well.
Well, I'm glad we're going to flag this and come back and talk.
Let's move on to the grant loan program for water and sewer systems.
Two.
Three.
Senator Carter.
Okay, I'm sorry. One.
Two.
Where are your glasses, Johnson?
You'll see. Shaving the TV.
A one, Mr. Chair.
Oh, I thought it was just on radio.
A one.
Thank you, and I'm a one as well. Our federal grant program, Community Development Block Grant.
One.
It's number 11, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
Two.
One.
One.
One, Mr. Chair, and I would like to flag this for discussion with respect to how it might fit in with work being executed in housing and community development.
Senator Morris.
One.
I'm a one as well. Let's move to old growth diversification federal funds.
One.
Two.
One.
What's Judy's up.
One.
I'm a five because I think the fund is virtually exhausted. And if it is, this would be one of the things. Let's call it a day.
Ah.
Correct.
However, the instruction from the co-chair was not to pay particular account to the amount of money in the fund, it's the importance of the fund.
I would still be a five because I think that there has been a failure of consistent utilization of these dollars in an objective way across the state.
So we're not.
It's all gone to Scappoose? Is that what you're saying?
No, it hasn't, and that's why it's a five.
Senator Morris.
Well, in principle, a one.
Okay. I'm going to give it a four. Small Business Development Centers and Women and Minority Business Services. Senator Carter.
One.
Margaret's voting for me on this one, too.
One.
Okay.
I'm a one, and I will renew my interest in saying I'd sure like all of the minority disadvantaged small business to be in one highly accessible, easily recognizable, findable in the phone book place.
Senator Morris.
One.
Thank you.
One.
One.
So I can stay out of the Willamette week. I'll say a three. I'm teasing. I'm a one as well.
Which has consequences.
Grant loan program for the program to ensure state drinking water systems.
One.
One.
Absolute one.
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 I'm a one. business retention assistance to troubled businesses.
Two.
Three.
One.
Three.
Five. Not that it isn't important, but again, my concern is in execution. Criteria and execution and measurables.
Four.
I'm a five. Ports grant loan program to Port District, Senator Johnson.
This is terribly important, but again, I go back to my concern about the ability of the on-the-ground partners. There are some ports that are racehorses. They are doing innovative, wonderful programs with high degrees of accountability and real deliverables that people can go out and touch and see. Not all ports are performing at that level, and so I'm going to give this a one. I'm going to ask that we flag it and come back and talk about it in phase two. I don't think that the performing ports should be held back by the non-performing ports, and that if we get to a point where there are criteria and deliverables that would be measured against dollars handed out, that way those reliable partners on the ground that are doing a good job are rewarded, and failure to perform is not rewarded.
Senator Morris.
A one.
Okay. Kind of jumped around on this one. Senator Carter.
Oh, which one now?
Ports. 16. Line 16.
Oh, I said one on that. Yeah.
Okay. Senator Westland.
Two.
Okay. Representative Avakian.
Two.
Two.
I'm going to give it a one, and I also am going to flag this. I think this is an area where historically the ports have had strong support, and that support has been deteriorated, and I think this is an area that deserves to be reconsidered, and I think for round two we'll probably be looking to have further discussion on this issue.
You know, Mr. Chairman,
yes.
In the 80s, one of the hardest votes I ever had to take was a statewide approach to working with ports. We brought ports together for a reason, and hopefully set up a system by which we can look at a seamless transportation system, whether it's air, rail, or highway. And I gave this a one because I'm hoping that we can get the kind of leadership that would bring our ports back together, and so that economic development become a priority for ports statewide. And I think that what we need to do is to expect some outcomes, and I bet you people will perform. And so, and I think one of the things that we're not doing is expecting some outcomes from them on a statewide basis in order for the ports to perform. And if necessary, we need to give OEDD a hammer by which they can have that expectation in terms of reporting opportunities to know, you know, the amount of jobs that are coming in as a result of that, the amount of dollar used for such purposes, and have them to have the kind of deliverables that are part of the expected outcomes. I think we just have not been doing it.
Thank you. Let's move to Marine Navigation Improvement Fund.
One.
Two.
Three.
It's on you, Senator Wilson.
Number 17. Excuse me.
Marine Navigation.
One.
Senator Johnson, I understand that we have a very special guest in the room. Would you be willing to introduce our guest for us?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I noticed that Commissioner Tony Hyde, a Columbia County Commissioner and an OECDD Commissioner, has just come into the room. Tony has been instrumental in many economic development projects in Columbia County, and I just wanted to acknowledge him in the room. Thank you for the courtesy, Mr. Chair.
You bet. It's truly good having you here with us today. And I guess we throw the vote to you now.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm glad he came in after I said anything bad about the age. this is a very important issue. I marked it as a low because there's almost no money in it right now. I think there's 40. Again, I'm not supposed to talk about money, but it may be one of the account lines, program lines that no longer has any viability. I would like us to revisit this, and that's why I'm going to change my vote to a one, particularly because the commissioner is now watching me, and ask that in phase two we revisit it with perhaps a longer view to giving some direction to the agency. We have jetties along the coast that are failing, and should those jetties, and I'm thinking particularly of the mouth of the Columbia, fail, it will affect ports, communities, Oregonians, all the way to the Idaho border and beyond if we are unable to bring merchant vessels across that bar. And so this is worthy of revisiting, and I think it's critically important to Oregon's economic viability.
Well, as part of that flag, I'm going to ask if you would work with me and the department to make sure that that program gets the due consideration that it deserves.
I would be happy to, sir. Okay.
Senator Morris.
Three.
A one. Community assistance. This is traditionally provide dollars for Oregon downtown development and RDI.
Three.
Senator Carter.
I get a three.
Two.
Five, Mr. Chair, I would ask that it be flagged for a couple of reasons. First of all, to talk about what is the mission of Oregon Economic and Community Development. Are we brightening downtowns, or are we creating jobs for Oregonians? And this is a debate that predates my service in the legislature. I would also like to flag it to ask the agency in phase two to bring back a list of any granting that they're doing with respect. These two, I believe, happen to be 501c3s, Oregon Downtown Development and the Rural Development Initiative. And it's not that these programs don't have value, but I think in a time when Oregon's economy is struggling, I want to make sure that we have the emphasis on where the jobs are, not on community livability projects. They have value, but in a time when we still are suffering mightily in recession, I'd like to see us make sure we're focused on jobs.
Perfect. Senator Morris.
I would echo the comments of Senator Johnson, but I would rate it a three. I know I watch what's happened in our communities, many communities across the state. You know, they're struggling to even retain an identity. But I think, you know, the hard reality is the money that goes into those, are we yielding results? And we need to look thoughtfully at that.
I'd like to ask the department, is the department still funding RDI?
Mr. Chair, yes, at this point we still are funding a number of groups that are providing those types of local services. RDI will be awarded some of that funding.
I'm going to actually give this a five as well, and I want to share with the committee why. About 3 months ago, I asked a very specific question if RDI was being funded, and the answer to me was no. And now I'm finding out that, and I knew the case was yes, and it wasn't anyone in this room who shared that, but it was somebody in the department. And so...
Mr. Chair, and to clarify, as I think you know, but for the clarification of the rest of the committee, in past biennia, this funding has gone directly to RDI and to ODDA. Because of direction from our commission for this biennium, we decided to open that up and make it more competitive. So at the time someone spoke with you, and I don't know who that was, they might have been meaning at that time money had not yet been awarded to RDI, but at this point we are expecting them to be one of the recipients.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Ms. Beaton has also touched on an interesting point. At one time, these were negotiated contracts, not competitively bid contracts. And when you are doing, in anticipation of Phase 2, the summary of those passed through or granted out monies to groups performing work on behalf of the agency, I would like to know how many of those are competitive and how many of them are non-competitive negotiated.
Let's move to, I guess, number 19, and I'm not sure. I'll just read it. Use per budget request, ODF, UNALL.
Mr. Chair, I can briefly explain this. These are unallocated dollars that we're anticipating to have at the end of the biennium, specifically coming from two sources. The first is we earn interest on our Community Development Fund, which is our overall fund. Some of that interest we will expect to have as carryover into the next biennium. The second thing is we have just had a lottery bond sale earlier this month. I think it was approximately $19.6 million, but we expect to have about $8 million of that not yet spent by the end of the biennium. So in total, we're expecting to have about $8.5 million of carryover from those two sources. And the reason they are unallocated is because those dollars will have to be allocated by the commission, who will determine which program to put them into. So at this point, they're not allocated. That's why they're on that line.
Okay. Why don't we start with...
I don't have any idea how to rate that. I'm wondering if we should just pass it off until we know what it's going to be used for.
Okay. Why don't we flag that, and we'll come back to that then in round two. Pass-through funding to the Film and Video Office.
Excuse me. No,
I'd like
to make a comment on that.
Yes,
my understanding of law is that any unallocated general fund discretionary monies revert back to the pot. Is that correct?
But these are unallocated.
Mr. Chair, Senator Morse, these aren't general fund dollars. These are the lottery fund dollars and the lottery bond dollars.
But to clarify, lottery, any unallocated lottery funds are subject to disappropriation, which is the same process, or disallocation, I guess, as with the general fund. But in this case, these are dollars that are earmarked for specific projects, capital construction, I believe, that simply have not yet been allocated for a specified project.
And, Mr. Chair, Senator Morse, to further clarify, we're expecting at least the $8 million of that amount to go to the Special Public Works Fund for allocation. It's just a formal process that we haven't yet gone through with those dollars.
Wait, I'm going to go Senator Johnson.
Earmarked by the commission?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, yes, the commission will make the determination. They'll take it from the Community Development Fund, which is our overall fund, and decide which of the individual funds to then put the money into.
Well, why don't we do this?
And actually, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
Oh, sure.
I apparently forgot what happened in February of this year. I was busy doing, oddly enough, Ways and Means work at the time and didn't attend the commission meeting. So I've now been reminded that actually the commission has allocated $8 million of that in February to the Special Public Works Fund. My apologies.
Oh.
So sorry.
Well, why don't we flag that, and we'll further that discussion in round two. Pass-through funding to the Film and Video Office.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a comment regarding the next three, because I think they are kindred souls in this budget, being film and video and then the arts and cultural programs. The Film and Video Office really is staffed by an extremely talented group of people with good connections in the industry, and I think that is really an area of untapped industry potential for Oregon. And that regardless of what happens the rest of this budget, that's an effort that we really need to allow to thrive. With respect to the next two, the Arts Commission and the Cultural Trust, especially because of this extreme loss and sometimes exclusion of music, arts, and cultural programs in our public education system, I think we need to do everything that we can to enhance the survival of these efforts because our communities need it. And especially within a budget like this, where you're not going to see evidence of a lot of job creation or a return on investment in the traditional sense that we think of, it's got great intrinsic value to society, and it needs to be saved for that reason. So a one and more for the next three.
Thank you. Representative Richardson.
Four.
Thank you. Senator Westland.
Double one.
Senator Johnson.
Having just attended the opening of a movie that was filmed in Astoria, set aside the fact that it was so gratuitously scary, I didn't notice that it didn't have a plot. I come with a renewed sense of how important film and video is to the communities where the movies are filmed, and I had occasion after this hideous movie to take a medicinal drink in the public house, and I learned from many of the merchants who had serviced the film crews when they were in town that this was a boon of unmeasurable value. And so I would rate all three of these as ones. I share the opinion of my colleague and friend, Representative Avakian, that on our watch, despite pretty severe economic downturn, we should not leave behind a denuded cultural landscape. That culture is as important to economic development and the attraction and retention of people and businesses. This is very important. I rate all three of them a one. And I would suggest for anybody listening, the Ring 2 is not something you want to invest $9 in.
But keep bringing them to Astoria. Is that what
it
you're saying?
Terrifying.
You just destroyed your argument.
Senator Westland, and then we'll go to Senator Morris.
Mr. Chair, the only thing I object to in Senator Johnson's articulate remarks is that she implied that if the movie had not been so gratuitously scary, she had the capacity of ascertaining that there would have been a plot to the movie. That is of some question.
Trying to maintain senatorial while sitting in a theater screaming like a 13-year-old.
Senator Morris.
Do you want all three?
If you don't mind.
3-4-3.
3-4-3. In my rankings, I'm going to give each of them a one. I've had an opportunity to sit down with the film and video folks, and I have to really share with you, I think this is an untapped resource. And I think if the state of Oregon is going to be in this business, that we need to do it correctly. When you look at the return to the state of Oregon based upon the dollars invested, it's pretty significant. And I think there's something to be said for that. In terms of the grants, special initiatives, and services to public art organizations, I thoroughly agree with Representative Avakian and Senator Johnson. And when you look at economic development, there's many components to economic development. People live in Oregon for many reasons, and part of that is attributable to the arts. When I look at what the folks in Eastern Oregon are doing with the Eastern Oregon Arts Group, it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal what they take on the road and bring out to our smallest communities, and as a result of that, I think that merits a one. In terms of the Oregon Cultural Trust, considering the fact Senator Westland, Morrow County funded a huge portion of that, I would be remiss if we didn't also give it a one. But I'll tell you what, that's an investment that was worth making. So, Senator Westland.
Mr. Chair, I didn't realize we were ranking all those, so I give all three, obviously, a one. And with regard to the nexus between arts, culture, and job creation, I would call to everyone's attention and recommend they read Richard Florida's book entitled The Creative Class. It makes an exceptional argument as to the job creation and wealth creation associated directly to arts and cultural endeavors. And, I mean, it has true implications and legitimacy on this sheet of paper in terms of economic development.
Well, I would share with this committee, anyone who would question whether or not art has a role in economic development needs to come to Joseph and Wallowa County and take a look at its Main Street.
And if I may, Mr. Chair, I agree completely, and that is a wonderful read. And there is a link, and I'm glad we're putting that on the record. But I would offer for the record also that even if there were not a link, that there are some things that are just worth saving in society. When you look at the great societies of the world, they're not just remembered for their infrastructure and their economic development, but they're remembered for their cultural development and their art as well, and that travels over centuries. So there's an intrinsic value to it that must be valued by us.
Okay, I got to speak up then.
Representative Richardson.
It's certainly easy and makes you feel really good to do good with other people's money. But we represent the taxpayers here, and the department we're evaluating is Oregon, it's economic and community development. The emphasis that the governor has given is, because the economic aspect is on creation of jobs, and so I give each of the numbers 20, well, it's the last two dealing with arts, fives, not because they aren't good, but because I don't think that at this point in my very limited career and experience that I can't see that it is a top priority for the use of these funds. Nevertheless, I'm certainly open in phase two to discuss with those who have been more experienced than I these opinions, and I'm certainly open for a change in that regard, but I feel like I'd better speak up.
That's what's great about this committee, is we're able to have diverse opinions, and we'll bring them all together in round two and round three, and hopefully have a product that Oregonians will be proud of.
Mr. Chair, I think in phase two we should discuss the cumulative total $10,000 investment, $5,000 from the Ashland City Council, and $5,000 from private business interests that put on these little makeshift stage plays before the weekly city boxing matches on the Village Green that has since blossomed into what we all know and love as the Ashland Shakespearean Theater, that now produces $107 million annual, first dollar out of the wallet, impetus to Oregon economy, and it's a perfect example of a public-private partnership during the middle of the Depression. How do you justify that in the middle of the Depression?
Let's do this.
We'll talk about that in phase two.
Yep, and I think that'd be a terrific discussion to have. Let's move to operations. I'm gonna ask if the department could kind of break that out for us a little bit, and then we'll have the discussion.
Yes, Mr. Chair. For many of our programs, the revolving loan fund programs and other programs fund the staff themselves that administer those funds. However, that is not the case for all of our staff. Some are lottery funded. This operations line item covers things like the funding for the staff, rent on our building, rents on our local regional offices around the state, and that type of sort of an overhead cost for the staff that aren't covered by those revolving loan funds.
Okay. Any questions of the committee on this? Representative Richardson.
Well, I may have missed that. Would you say, to what extent does this relate to international operations?
Mr. Chair, Representative Richardson, the international staff are covered completely within this budget. They are part of this budget that you're looking at for that line item.
Okay, thank you.
In order to have complete transparency, are there any other divisions under the operations label that we need to be aware of? International is one that perhaps some of us would argue should be line itemed out.
Uh-huh. Mr. Chair, I would argue probably international is the only one like that. For the most part, this is covering like my division, the central operations group that does fiscal and contracts and HR and all those internal functions.
Okay, it's Representative Richardson.
Could you explain to us why you would take your normal operations and lump those together with international a division, which has a completely different mission than your local, your day-to-day managerial function?
Mr. Chair, Representative Richardson, I think for this purpose, because it wasn't statutorily directed to be an individual fund like the other funds are, which is how we get those individual funds, we had lumped them into this line item. I mean, what we are doing is going by statute in setting up individual funds and then managing those separately, but they weren't created separately in terms of a different line item. So that's why they've been lumped. Okay. They could be separated, but historically we have not.
And Mr. Chair, members, correct me if I'm wrong, but budgetarily, international is included within the operations division. It is not a division of the department.
Okay. I would certainly recommend that we flag this for phase two and that we discuss such issues as revenues or investments from international countries that have come back to Oregon with specific connections between this department and those funds. I mean, the mere fact that the money comes from China does not necessarily mean that OECD brought it here.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'd like to know the jobs and successes that and failures that we've had from this department in going to the international organizations to justify the cost that we expend. And again, not merely the fact that there was some jobs that resulted, but did OECD's international department cause those successes? And I think it's a very important issue for us to take into consideration because of the fact that my experience is that large corporations in Oregon can benefit from the large international contracts, but that it's not designed to help small business, and the large companies that are already going to the international arenas would have their own consultants, and so why should Oregon taxpayers be paying huge corporations to have the availability of international consultations when they can do that themselves?
Mr. Chair, Representative Richardson, thank you. We've try to provide that. One last thing, the reason again that this is lumped is that we were directed to give you the line items by our budget structure. So even though it's a topical distinction in our budget, it's a single line item, which is why international was included here, although obviously we deal with it separately.
One of the things I think we'll need to do in round two is kind of break out the different programs that are paid for through operations. Enterprise zone management, as an example, and kind of break those up. Why don't we start with Representative Avakian?
3.
5.
Senator Westland?
2.
Senator Johnson?
2.
It's 1. You don't have operations. You don't have anything.
That was my hesitation. You got to run the shop, but absent some additional probing down in.
Yeah.
But Senator Westland,
Mr. Chair, to echo some of Representative Richardson's comments, specifically as it relates to the international. Yeah, I mean, hey, you got to have operations. We're going to fund it. Obviously, organization doesn't exist without. I am very concerned about the outcomes, the return on our investment, not fill in the blank whatever Japanese, Chinese, Korean, Indonesian company comes to Oregon, but what of those companies have come with a direct and, you know, as a result of a direct and measurable input from the expenditure of our economic and development funds, our public funds. I think that's a very legitimate line of questioning.
And, Mr. Chair, Senator Westland, just to make sure that I'm clear, are you talking specifically about, at this point, about the money spent for the international
yes.
program? Okay. All right.
Terrific.
Thank you.
I'm with Senator Morrison. Operations are everything, and so I would give it a 1. And hope that we can just work through that and figure out how to pull that all together. Let's go to lottery debt service.
1.
Representative Richardson shared with me he's a 1. Senator Westland.
Well, I suppose you have to evaluate what are the consequences if you don't.
1. Senator Johnson is a 1, and I am a 1.
All righty. Well, we've gone through now the department's budget. We've got areas flagged. We truly appreciate you folks coming before us. We are all in this together. We are all trying to figure out how to move the state forward in a unified way so we can enhance the economy of the state of Oregon, increase the livability to Oregonians, and have a product that the entire state of Oregon can be proud of. So we appreciate your time before us, and with that, I think we're going to now move into the Oregon State Fair.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Could I ask a fairly, at least as I understand the governor's 10% reduction budget, sophomoric question? You have a reduction next to the Oregon Cultural Trust, and I don't know how you can get there or get that since there's no general fund in the Oregon Cultural Trust.
Go to our list.
I don't need an answer now, just
okay.
At your convenience.
All right. We will provide that. Thank you.
Why don't we move to the state fair?
I suppose if we can reduce the lottery debt service 10%, we can reduce the cultural trust. General fund, it doesn't exist.
The 10% reduction is occurred in all, not just general fund.
Right, by each category.
Yeah. What?
Doesn't mean much. 18% of the federal funded program.
Yeah. It means a lot. It means you're throwing away money.
Hey, Katie, we got them warmed up for you. I think we're going to follow Robin's lead a little bit, and we got to flush through this one.
We're going to go with her his recommendation, sending phase 10, because we don't have any way to improve on them.
You know, before we start, it'd be good to have her explain, or if you could, Robin, some of the terms listed here, such as primary, secondary, and then why you have this long list of not ranked as opposed to the ranked.
The agency that needs to respond to that.
That's fine. I'm Mr. Chair, maybe we can have her do that before we...
What I'm going to share with the committee really quick before we start is the co-chairs have directed us to stop at... No later than 25 after. So we have 25 minutes to get through this. Why don't we have you introduce yourself for the record, Katie?
Okay, for the record, my name is Katie Cann, and I'm the director of the Oregon State Fair and Exposition Center.
Okay, welcome. How do you want to proceed on this? I have a very difficult time prioritizing carnival over artisan's fair. Maybe you could speak to this a little bit on, at least in the first part of this, in terms of your ranking.
Chair Smith, let me explain kind of the process I went through to try to rank bunnies over bathrooms is basically what I was trying to do. I looked at the fact that the emphasis has been stressed on revenue. But before I even looked at revenue, I had to look at health and safety, because in our business, if you don't have health and safety, nobody comes. I don't care what kind of program you have. So I had to put that first. And then the next thing I looked at was the revenue generation of those activities that we have that generate the most net revenue. And then third, I looked at the mission statement, because I have to have those first two pieces in order to be able to do the third piece. And the third piece in the mission statement deals with your open class departments, your 4-H, and your FFA. So I first broke it out by fair as being the overall primary, and then expo being secondary because it generates less revenue but probably more economic impact. And then within the fair, I looked at those components that generate the most revenue, and then broke them out to the point that the things that didn't generate as much revenue, but we want to do those, but I have to do the first things first. And that's kind of how I approached it.
Mr. Chair, yes. Members of the committee, I will remind the committee that at the time that the fair was presenting their priorities, the subcommittee did express concern over the fact that the fair priorities were not necessarily consistent with the statutory mission and direction from the fair. I don't know whether that concern still holds, but just a reminder of the discussion that occurred.
I'm actually going to kind of turn to our two former co-chairs and get some guidance on how they would like to see us. Their input of experience or years of experience that they could add to this discussion on how we should move forward in prioritizing this type of budget.
Well,
you're looking at me, my problem, same problem you're having is how it comes down to, I'm not trying to raise this issue, Katie, but it comes down to, if you're going to have a state fair, you're going to do all these things, and they're all integral components to the operation of a fair. And we can parse whether, you know, more bathrooms are more important than more fun rides.
Mm-hmm.
And the real issue is, for me, is letting Katie continue to do the exemplary job she's done under some very difficult circumstances, inheriting some very difficult management processes, problems from prior 10 years. And so, having said that, I think the co-chairs want numbers.
Right.
I have a question. Do we really think, basically, you know, it's not like multiple programs, this is one thing, and, you know, so we're going to put lights ahead of plumbing. Can we improve upon what she's got on this, or are we really just going to be essentially saying, you know, we can accept what she's proposed, and then in phase two we're going to be asking hard questions on the overall program, but since it's really one program, I find it very hard to rank it any different than what she's already done.
You know, maybe it's the kind of the trust but verify theory. I think she's actually done an exceptional job. I particularly like the explanation in the box of, you know, your kind of explanatory statement. I have no qualms or disagreements looking at any of the rankings she has given these, you know, 16 different categories.
Let me turn to Senator Morris and Representative Avakian. You two are going to be visiting with Katie in the near future. That's my understanding.
I will be out of town, Mr. Chair, and Senator Berger is going to take my spot.
Perfect. Okay. What do you think, Senator Morris, about during your time with the director, of sitting down, looking through the financials, and coming back and reporting to Robin and to this committee on how we should proceed forward? I'm struggling with, I mean, I could, it's either going to be a one or a, you
know, a five.
I mean, it's a package here.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm looking for consensus from the group.
That's exactly, and I apologize for having to step out there, but I think I have 1, 3, and they're all ones, and I have 1 question mark. Because I don't think you can pull this apart and say one is, we're not going to do one, we're going to do other things. My biggest concern about this is we're really in a market-driven business. This is an enterprise. It's not an agency. And it needs to be managed as an enterprise. And how do we help it get there and to that point? And because it's pretty clear to me, I've thought about this a lot, is that, you know, we've made a huge investment out there, and I don't think it's an investment we can walk away from.
Here's what I'm going to do, if this is okay, committee. Robin's had a difficult time getting the numbers that she needs to bring forward a recommendation to us. I'm going to ask that you and Senator Berger to go out to meet with Katie. I'm also going to ask if you folks could, the four of you sit down, or the three of you sit down with Robin.
Mr. Chair, members, I intend to accompany.
You'll be
them.
There. Okay. Well, then let me rephrase that. The two of you work with Robin and Katie to see if you can come up with a solution that you can bring back to the committee that I guess we can take to the co-chairs and say, here's where we are.
Mr. Chair, just a reminder, and Senator Carter can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that the deadline for turning in this worksheet is Monday. And
so we better have a number.
My suggestion to the committee, because I not that it matters, but I tend to agree with what people are saying here, which is that to some extent
trying to separately rank each of these items is at this point a meaningless exercise. Mm-hmm. My recommendation to the committee would be to accept the rankings provided by the State Fair at this point in time, with the understanding that this is obviously the issues surrounding the agency are going to need to be dealt with in phase two and right. phase three.
Is that
I think that's an excellent idea.
Yep. Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Carter.
And I know you don't need pontificators at this time, but permit me to do so. I think that this is a great big philosophical issue for Oregonians. If we look at $1.8 million for the State Fair, where every little kid you just about think about in rural Oregon comes to show their wares, and people come to it's a gathering place, like a family place for Oregonians who for years done it. I can't imagine that people come. And you look at this 1.8 versus you look at 300 some odd million dollars for the Oregon Youth Authority. And we're helping our kids whose names have not gone down in flames on the negative side. I will give this in a day.
Why don't we
Senator, I didn't hear the last thing you said.
I would pay for this any day.
Thank you.
I do realize we have a problem, so I don't want to be remiss or derelict in my duties, as a member of this committee. But that's why I say I put it in the realm of a philosophical issue in terms of what are the things that we still value as Oregonians? What are the things that we still find common in bringing our kids together to do good work and that are not in trouble and all that kind of stuff. Yes, we need to look at how we can make this a revenue generator. And even if it pays for itself, it's better than the state having to put in every time. But I think for me, the overarching issue for me is that the State Fair, by the nature of its whole mission over the years, has been our kids on parade, the good things they have done, to win their little ribbons that they work hard for. And that's where I am.
Senator Johnson.
Mr. Chair, well, I don't disagree with my good colleague. Given that there are issues that we're going to have to tease out in rounds two and three, I would suggest that for this amount of money, there might be the same way to help those good kids. Right now, 4-H and Extension and the Ag Experiment Stations are all on the block. Wow. Kids interact there. If we cut the leadership programs like FBLA, Future Business Leaders of America, those are all in play right now. And I think those programs have to be factored in, and the existence of those programs have to be factored into this discussion about staging an event once a year for a finite number, and I would submit a finite and declining number of folks. I would be very interested to know how the county fair or the state fair impacts the appropriate and successful conduct of the county fairs. How many of those kids actually sell their animals at the market auction in Columbia County and never go on to the state? I'd like to try to get some facts and not continue to look through a sepia-toned rearview mirror to find out really are the kids coming. I make no disagreement with you on the fact that we spend a lot of money helping kids after they're already seriously in trouble. It's not 4-H kids and FFA kids and FBLA kids that are knocking over your mailbox. And I'd like to try to do something on the front end for those kids that are the success stories and the future leaders. So I don't disagree with your premise. I'm just saying there's a lot of stuff in balance that needs to be discussed in the totality of this kind of expenditure and continuing expenditure.
Senator Westlin.
And then just to muddy that pond a little bit more, the beneficiaries of some of the state leadership programs are not directly contingent upon participating in the state fair. FFA has their national conventions, and I mean, state fair isn't an integral player in those convention processes, going back to Louisville.
You're making my case.
I'm just
clarifying the question, since obviously the way you articulated it, Katie couldn't get it. Now she gets it.
Thank
Mr.
you.
Mr. Chair.
I'm going to go Senator Morris, then to Representative Avakian.
There's kind of a cause and effect. As we decline and decrease support for your 4-H, your statewide, it does impact the fair.
Yeah, but the 4-H side is definitely.
So you wind up with a negative impact there. The reason I've kind of settled in on this issue that we've got to make it, got to make it work, is the $5.6 million debt service. That's there whether we do anything or not. It's the 1.3 operating deficit that we're talking about, that we have any discretion over whatsoever. And I'm not sure I'm remembering correct numbers, but I'm not too far off, I don't think.
Representative Bakken, then Senator Johnson.
Reed and Senator Morris.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Johnson timed that perfectly to get the last word in, which shows her great experience. my guess is that those kids organizations that are hanging on by a thread, that there will be nothing we can do to further their demise than to drive a dagger through the heart of their icon, which I think the state fair is. And then second, and I will do nothing, Mr. Chair, to incite this, but I'm guessing when the day comes that we have public testimony, that you'll see a lot of those kids here that will very quickly clear the muddy water that we seem to have muddled through today.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to add to the menu of possibilities to help salvage the fair the potential for some perhaps legislative relief or something that makes the fair operationally work better. I'm looking over your shoulder at Mr. McCulley, and I'm thinking about county fairs and why so many of those county fairs perform so well. And it's because the county fair managers have cadres of volunteers who turn out and do much of the work on a voluntary basis. Katie has a set of fixed costs here that I don't know how much they can be abated by volunteers or whether or not there's a mechanism to use volunteers in a state facility. But it seems to me that one of the reasons that Columbia County and Tillamook County are successful is the Friends of the Fair group that crowds around the fair and want to work pro bono and take pride in their volunteer association with the enterprise. So that might be something that our investigatory group looks at to see, is there an adequate portal through which volunteers can enter and be embraced by fair management to help reduce some of the fixed overhead?
Yeah. Well, colleagues, it's about 2:16, and we've gone through our workload for the day. I think we have a lot to be proud of, but we also have to acknowledge the fact that our work is now cut out for us. And in round two and three, we're going to have some very heavy lifting to do. But I think if we continue on this current path of working together, having our differences but working through them, we will come up with a product that all Oregon can be proud of. So with that said, I'm going to adjourn for the day, and we will see you tomorrow.
Good job, Mr. Chair.
Very good.